Welcome to Knights Around the Table, a show where the Knights of Columbus, Fulton J. Sheen, Council 7612, sit around the WSJF studio conference table and discuss their involvement and contributions to the St. Joseph community and the areas around Sykesville and Eldersburg. Here is the host of the show, Eric Klaser.
Hello, we are the Knights of Columbus, Fulton J. Sheen Council 7612, and this is Knights Around the Table. This show is designed to demonstrate to the community who the Knights are and how we integrate with the St. Joseph community. Let's start with the Lord's Prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
I'm Eric Klaser, past Grand Knight, and I'm here today with just...
Peter O'Sullivan.
So we're a little light, but we're going to make it work. Let's take a look at some upcoming events. First, a couple reminders. Peter, what do we got weekly?
Well, we have the Rosary several times a week, Monday and Tuesday evenings, and then I think on Friday mornings, 7:30 in the chapel, and anybody is welcome to come who is available to participate. Family Rosary across the parish is broadcast on our radio station, Saturday morning around 11 o'clock, and that's very popular, people to listen in on that. And also, some of our parishioners pray Saturday morning down at the abortion center in Ellicott City. So if you're interested in that, if you have feelings about the life issue, they'd love to have people join them on the sidewalk Saturday mornings to do a rosary there.
Excellent. All right. And one of our big fundraisers for the year, M&T Bank Stadium, is winding down, so I get to do a big exhale. It's been a big long season, but we're down to our last three home games in December and January. So just quick reminder for anybody who's interested, December 1st, we play the Eagles. December 21st, there's going to be a home game against the Steelers. And right now it looks like it's the weekend of January 5th. The Ravens go on to flex scheduling at that point for a home game against the Browns. If anybody happens to catch us and you're a local organization and you want to give it a try and see if maybe fundraising at M&T is for you, these are our last three games of the season. It's a good time to jump on board and see if you want to join us up at the stadium. It would be great to have the extra help. That would be a simple contact. You could send our Grand Knight an email at 7612kfc@gmail.com and just say you're interested in helping out at the game, and we would love to get you connected. Been a busy year, though. We've been running two big stands up at club level, and they've been keeping us really busy. And this new company, Levy, has been super gracious with how they're helping us out. I think if you participate, you'll see the benefits are better than they... Well, you wouldn't know they're better than ever because you haven't done it, but I can tell you they're better than ever because we're starting to see our fundraising side come in. So it's a worthwhile endeavor.
It's a fun job, too, to go out there with the guys for a football game, and a lot of give and take with the fans.
That's true. And if you're on my stand, it's run efficiently, and we get done, and we get out. The other stand, my stand's pretty good.
Don't downgrade your brother Knights now.
It's a good show. No, it is. It's a great time, and it's a fun crowd, and right now the Ravens are still good, so... When the Ravens are good, it's even more fun out there, that's for sure. Coming up in November, our November social, November 17th, when the Ravens are on the road against the Steelers, we're going to meet at 1623 Brewery right here in Eldersburg. We're going to meet during the Ravens and Steelers game, since we don't have to work it, and we'll kick back and enjoy the crowd at 1623. I know my family's coming up from Florida. We're planning on going and sitting there and having a good time. So I'm looking forward to a Sunday afternoon for free. And well, it's not free, but I'm looking forward to a relaxing Sunday afternoon instead of running around at the stadium. So, but that's our November 17th social. The only other event I've got on the calendar at the moment, and I want to move forward into December. Our December social is a big combined event. We're calling it Starry Night. It's knocking a couple traditions together. The Sheens Colleens are going to kick the night off with their now annual tree lighting, and we're going to sing some Christmas carols around the tree. Following that, everybody's going to be invited inside for what is another staple of the St. Joe's community, which is the spaghetti dinner and movie night. So it'll be a family movie, and the spaghetti dinner will be free that night, and it'll just be a fun time to gather and sit and enjoy a movie. And I believe we'll kind of gather as a Knights group at that point and combine that as part of our annual Knights of Columbus Christmas party. So that's why I said it's a nice big group event. We have a lot to do in December, and I think we did a good job putting all three of those together so that we don't have to worry about trying to be in a lot of places at a lot of times. We're getting all that done.
Eric, do you happen to know what time that kicks off?
Yeah, so church is at 5 p.m. on Saturday night, and so immediately after the 5 p.m. Mass, we'll gather outside to do the tree lighting, and then immediately after singing a few carols from the tree lighting, we'll congregate inside to have some dinner and a movie.
So right after the 5 o'clock Mass.
Absolutely.
Good.
And that's our schedule. We're in a holiday time. I know that between November and December and January, we try to not fill the night's calendar up too much so that there's a lot of time for getting together with family and getting together with some people you haven't seen before. So that's what we've got so far. Just a quick reminder before we get going with our second half. We are the Knights Around the Table at St. Joe's, and tonight it's a small crowd. It's just me and Peter. So I figured with the year winding down and this being sort of our holiday show that I asked whoever showed up tonight to come with a holiday story or two. So I had one in mind, but I'm going to toss it out to Peter. He said he had a couple to share as well.
Well, mine goes back a while. It goes back to when I was 15 years old. Ooh. Back in New York, I came from New York, and I went to high school at Holy Name of Mary School in Valley Stream, Long Island. And starting the eighth grade in September, we checked into school the first day, and there was a new parish priest assigned, fresh from the books. He was probably 25 or 26 years old. All the girls fell in love with him. He was so young and good-looking and vivacious. But what he did was he came into the classroom the second day of school, and he said, "We're having a boys' choir." And we had never had that before. So thanks to the pressure from the good nuns, all of the boys turned out for choir practice. And we practiced the end of September, October, November. And lo and behold, in Christmas, we put on a performance that was magnificent. The people loved it. So there we go. That was my first Christmas story.
Nice.
Uh-huh. And it had a happy ending.
Well, I was thinking, the first story that came to mind for me was 1997, when Molly still does the bumper here, right? And says, "Hello, how are you? Welcome to Knights of Columbus." The girl who started this show was just a baby. And my wife comes home and says, "We've been volunteered to be Mary and Joseph for the midnight mass down at St. Augustine's." And Molly was a crier at the time and constantly a crier. And I couldn't imagine how this was going to get done. But she wasn't even a year old at the time, so I guess she was a perfect match for it. What made it a fun story was her parents were coming down for Christmas for the first time. And we decided, all right, not only are we going to try to pull this off, we're going to try to pull this off, get them to Mass, and not even have them know that we were going to do this. So we got to St. Augustine's, we got them in, we got everybody seated in like the second row, and it was about 2 minutes before Mass started. We had already talked to the priest and kind of told him we were going to do this. And she told her mom that we had to sneak out and we'll be right back because we had to just shake the baby around a little bit and get her calmed down. And sure enough, we snuck out for sure, changed into Mary and Joseph garb, and immediately processed into church. It was probably the most nervous hour I've ever had. But we started the service and walked in, processed in, and sat on the altar the whole time with Molly as baby Jesus in the manger throughout the duration of Mass. And it was just, it was such a special moment. I remember looking at my mother-in-law and how happy she was, how just surprised she was that we were sitting in the front of the church running that Mass. I thought that was a, it was something I'll always remember. But we survived and everything was good and the baby didn't cry somehow.
And you, the folks never knew it.
Well, they knew it once we came out.
Well, they sure,
we surprised them.
That's great. I have another one that happened probably around 1970 or the early 70s. We were living then in North Merrick, New York, and had three little kids, and we were parishioners at Sacred Heart Church. Believe it or not, Eric, I was a cantor at Mass. And every time I would come out on a Sunday morning to do the singing, there was an audible cringe among the congregation. But I was being a Marine, I could stand that, I took it. So I kept on going. One time, the Christmas schedule came out, and I was assigned to sing at one of the Masses on Christmas morning, and they told us what songs there were, and lo and behold, there was a song I did not know. We Three Kings of Orient Are. I had gone to Catholic school all my life, and the kids were in, I did not know that hymn. So I called a friend of mine, a nun who was in a convent in Brooklyn, New York. And I called Sister Nancy, and I told her my predicament, and believe it or not, over the telephone, she taught me how to sing that hymn. And we were singing back and forth to each other over the phone. So that was my second Christmas story.
So We Three Kings didn't become like top 40 Christmas carol time until like...
It should have, but they where were they? They don't know any better.
Wasn't standard in the New York area? No, I was trying to think of a good Thanksgiving story. You tossed that one on. I don't know if I had one off the top of my head.
One time on Christmas, I think my mother-in-law was in the kitchen helping with dinner, and the turkey wound up on the floor.
I think I saw a movie where that happened.
That's a true Thanksgiving story, but I don't know anything more than that.
I remember one Thanksgiving where my mom was sick, and it wound up being my dad's responsibility at the last second to get a Thanksgiving dinner. And we joked about the triangle rolls that we had and barely salad put together, and it was a very fun dinner, I bet.
Oh, yeah, you had a good time doing it.
Yeah, St. Joe's was the first time I remember church associated with Thanksgiving. I know that sounds silly to say. For me, I was the New Jersey guy in me was always, high school football was how Thanksgiving Day started. It was wake up, you go to the football game, then you come back, and of course there's more football on TV and watching TV, but it was just, that was how the New Jersey seasons around my neighborhood always finished up. That was the last game of the season. That was your big rivalry of the season.
Yeah. Homecoming day.
It was. And that was, that's why it was weird down here that everything was homecoming in October. In New Jersey, my hometown of Westfield, that homecoming was a bonfire on Wednesday night. And you truly did see everybody you hadn't seen in years. And it was always a great night. Those were special times, and I think it would be nice to see that type of community kick together for homecoming down here. But I did enjoy those times.
I have another Christmas story that probably all of us have experienced when the kids were little. And Christmas Eve, you want to get the kids in bed so you can put the toys together and stuff like that, right? And we did that. All the children were in bed, and everything was ready about 10:30 or so. I mentioned it to Jean. We're done. Let's go to bed. She said, oh, you didn't do Miss Kitty's Kitchen. I said, what is Miss Kitty's kitchen? Well, it was a big carton. And I opened up the carton, and it was a refrigerator and a stove and a sink, all made out of cardboard with slips. Port A goes into slot B, and there must have been 600 parts. So needless to say, I was up all night. Gene went to bed because we weren't talking anymore. But I had it all done and put together when the kids came down in the morning. But that was a Christmas I'd like to forget.
The biggest miracle I pulled off was I had the two kids with me. It was just Molly and Emily at the time. And I managed with them in the car to go to BJ's, buy a trampoline, get it loaded in the big red van. As Danny remembers his big red van, I managed to get the trampoline loaded in the big red van, get it home. They had no idea I even purchased it. And then Christmas night or Christmas Eve after they went to bed, I completely put the trampoline together in a pitch black yard. And it was ready for them. Ready for them.
One night.
Yes,
Eric.
I pulled it off. I look back on it now. I don't know how I pulled that Christmas miracle off, but I that one did. Well, we certainly think that any Catholic man in the Eldersburg area who is interested, is curious, should consider becoming a member of the Knights of Columbus. If you think you might be interested, just send an email to 7612kfc@gmail.com saying you're interested in becoming a member, and somebody will get back in touch with you right away, and we'll get you down to the church, get you to a meeting, get you to a social, and then you can decide if you really want to join, because I'm sure you will by that point. You can always keep up with the Knights of Columbus events at our website, KFC7612. Please check it out. Email links are right there on the website if you get an idea and you want to send an email. Also, a link to listen to the radio show. If you happen to catch this on the radio and you want to catch this podcast or any other old one, there's a link right there on the website to get to the podcast link. And I'd like to thank you for coming to the radio. And let's close with a Hail Mary.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And I'm Eric Klaser, and tonight I've been with
Peter O'Sullivan.
And this has been Knights Around the Table. I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Knights Around the Table. We look forward to the next conversation about who the Knights are and what they're up to. Thanks to WSJF for broadcasting the show and Molly Klaser for her tireless engineering support. We'll see you next time.